old hat at it, joined us after a very, very successful Kruger to Canyon race. So, Lauren, welcome back. Thanks for taking the time between kids hockey and sport to pop in and say how's it.
Thanks so much for having me, Tim. So,
so tell us about the event. Let our listeners know how the event went, and there were a few challenges like wind and a few other things and no electricity. But at the end of the day, the idea was to run, and I think that went off extremely well.
Yeah, it really did, I think that's where experience counts, and bringing in teams who know what they're doing and have done it before makes things so much easier. But the race was a great success. I think we had overall slightly higher numbers perhaps than last year, but just super smooth and a really awesome runner experience. So it was a little bit unnerving actually when I opened my emails in the week after the race, and there was nothing coming in, because you know when you've made mistakes, you know, and because your email fills up quite quickly with people with feedback, etc. So the silence on those fronts is always a good sign.
Yeah, so having been there, and obviously I wasn't there as much as I normally am because of the wind swept us, but just speaking to people in and around the race village, and one or two of the locals that I know who come into our shop who ran the race, their experience seemed to be phenomenal. So I think from that side you ticked all the boxes.
I think so, and you know, I think we definitely took things up a notch, but that's all thanks to local partners and local involvement, businesses supporting our event, you know, at the last minute having Hoedspruit Reptile Centre jump on board and bring their setup and do a demo there, just, you know, added that little bit extra. The Colbeck Canine unit was, I think, the highlight for most runners, is seeing that in action and getting a little bit of a taste of what some of the exciting and really special things that happen in this area that the average person isn't exposed to. And that was before they had even set foot onto the trails. And there's no, every time you try and explain to people how beautiful it is and how diverse, but until they come in and experience it for themselves, they can't quite believe and comprehend it, I think.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, what amazed me was how many people stuck it out for the canine thing. I think it was the busiest that the village was.
Yes.
And no one went anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't like they were waiting for a briefing, because I don't think anyone really listens to a briefing at the end of the day. But, and those guys were on for quite a lengthy period of time, and they certainly held their attention. And I think one of the things is a lot of people aren't from here, so to give them that taste of that experience is always fantastic.
That, and I think perhaps they were a little bit nervous of making any sudden movements.
with their feet.
They saw. But also, you know, seeing the interaction that Tristan and Colin had with other runners out on the trail and the dogs, and was also phenomenal. Yeah. So people got to not only observe the demonstration, but also, you know, chat to them in a casual setting. I say casual while out running a really tough race. But, you know, just that one-on-one interaction was really amazing.
So we're not going to go through the winners and the losers, and we've got a really nice blog post going out, which we're just waiting for this SoundCloud that we'll put with it. But I on the Sunday morning when I arrived, I was talking to Andrew, and I like the drama. So, did you lose anybody, or did you? And then he told me a very funny story about the only person who got lost was a spectator.
A spectator, yes. So some time back, a friend of mine's husband said to me, "So, Lauren, do you think that you've experienced everything that can go wrong at a trail race?" And I said, "You keep quiet right now, or I'll chase you out of my house, because no, you can never predict around a trail race what's going to happen and who's going to do what." And yes, in this case, the only person I want to see sitting, or service provider that I want to see sitting board, is my medic. Yeah. And the fact that the medic had nothing to do all weekend for me was just amazing. We almost had to deploy the search and rescue unit, like you said, for a spectator, a German tourist who had come along with some family who was running and had assured them that he was going to stay at the race village. But he didn't, and he went bird watching and disappeared up the mountain, fortunately following the trail, but nobody knew where he, and eventually feedback started coming from runners, and at this point Farm Watch had put out an urgent alert, and my thankfully, the info came back from runners that there was a very exhausted man who was unable to really string together a sentence, but up on the mountain, and we deployed our KZNTR crew, who we've worked with for a very long time, to go and find that man and bring him back.
Yeah, amazing. All the runners are back safely, but we've lost a few spectators along the way. So, I mean, and I think, one of the things I always have remarked is, having been to the second race now, is how safety is so important, and what you guys do, and the crews you bring in from KZN, and that search and rescue, which I think is from Nelspruit. You know, those crews are vital for an event like this.
Absolutely. And I think, especially, it's easy to think, hey, let's organize an event, it'll be great fun. But over the years, we've learned what can go wrong, from the funny that we can joke about to the incredibly serious that, and running does have a lot of heart incidents associated with it. So we have to be ready for anything, anytime. Then you're putting and throwing in a mountain where people can trip, we never say get lost, they go off course. You've got to really be able to expect the unexpected, and I think this is an area where Andrew comes into his own, is that he can really think outside of the box. He is a runner who knows what a really tired mind can do, the tricks it can play on you, so he's very able to put himself into that kind of mind frame and think, okay, what are the potential pitfalls at this point of the, at this juncture of the event, and how can we put things in place to try to prevent anything from happening before we get into that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, and I think everyone who runs out there at 5:30 in the morning, whatever the time, feels safe that if anything does happen to them on their mountain, that someone is there to be able to do it. Yeah. And I think the team behind it, needs a lot of praise, because there is a lot behind it. This year, you made a few additions. Obviously, we've spoken about the Canine Project and the Reptile Park. But you also had a thing like AM Spa there, which, how did that work? Did that work out very well?
I think they were probably the most popular with the runners. Although, I must say, they were very popular with me, because generally people come across the line, they're exhausted and sometimes grumpy. And instead of complaining about the heavy, hectic mountain that we've made them run up, we can just guide them pleasantly across to the spa. So an amazing addition. We were really, really grateful to them for their support, and they had smiles on their faces all weekend long, along with Hoedspruit FM and Bean and Leaf. They got quite heavily nailed
by smashed.
The wind. I say heavily, but that's an understatement. Perhaps the next conversation.
I still remember the voice note you left me in the morning, because Lauren and them were so kind on the Friday night to say, don't worry about being there early for the sound, Andrew knows what to do. We showed him what to do, so don't worry, you come at your leisure, and we would have sorted out the sound. And then the first thing I did when I looked at my phone in the morning was a message from Lauren, and I thought, okay, obviously there's a problem with sound, shag it up, let's go. And she goes, no, don't rush, there's no power, and you might have been smashed by the wind. Well, I took the gazebo and crumbled it up. So, and I think AM Spa were also quite bad.
They were, I think, even worse. They had massive screen backings set up, etc. And I had said to them, are you sure you want to leave that up? The wind is going to really howl tonight. And they said, no, it'll all be fine. We've pegged it down. Our crew were out up from 10 o'clock till 3 in the morning, taking down... basically rescuing stuff. Runners, the stories of people who slept in their cars. One couple said, oh no, their car was too small and they couldn't stand the flapping of their tent, so they just took everything out of their tent and slept on top of it. And at least they then got a good night's sleep and they could watch the stars.
Yeah, the guy from the shoes company, the guy
Run Collective, yes.
He walked across in the morning as he saw us trying to pick up the pieces, and he said, I'm from KZN. He said, I've never seen wind like this in my life before. He said, we lost the whole tent.
Yeah.
The whole tent just blew away. The whole tent just picked up and just blew away. So he said, I've never seen wind like that in my life before.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, at the end of the day, you guys got going. I mean, one of the big things on that day was rugby. South Africa playing Ireland, which is always a big thing. So you guys even managed to get that going with no power and everything.
And you know what? We had been joking all day that we had tried to, that, you know, Russie just, you know, next year Russie's promised us that he'll get the match times right to not clash with briefings, etc. But clearly the whole of Compass Rus was on the line to Russie as well, and Russie managed to get Eskom sorted
just before the match.
Because I thought at one point we were going to have the whole of Compass Rus arriving at the school to watch the rugby there with us, which would have been great. But we still had a great crowd and an awesome atmosphere to watch that.
So the big question is, anything you'd like to change? What are your plans for next year? Or am I too soon for that?
The post-race brain fog has just cleared. But we are already looking towards reopening entries. We've set our dates for 2025, which is key. So you can put the 27th to the 29th of June, 2025.
Okay, so it's a little bit earlier.
Slightly earlier. We heard the wind is a little bit less on that weekend. no, but it's the first weekend of, I think, the private school half term. But also it doesn't clash with the Hoedspruit Farmers Market, which is the KTC Biosphere, who are our race partners. They are also involved in hosting the farmers market. So it puts them under a little bit of pressure to have things on the same weekend, so we looking to just create a bit of breathing room there. And we'll be opening entries on the 1st of September, so bookmark that. We always do a great locals special, so we'll be sure to circulate that via Hoedspruit FM as well. And just look forward to another awesome weekend of running.
So entries open September. We will continue to be involved with Lauren and team, and we'll probably get you in probably towards that when your entries open again, and we can start to build up to the new race. Anybody you'd like to, that you maybe haven't mentioned, that you'd like to thank on air, just to say thank you? Anybody else that you'd like to mention?
Well, absolutely, Hoedspruit FM. You guys have been such critical support and voice into the community for us. And I think it's a huge reflector in that it's the biggest local entry that we've ever had. And
fantastic.
That for me was just really special. Yeah. Now being part of this community, to see the race being adopted by more and more locals. That's very much, I think, can be linked up to Hoedspruit FM being a voice into the community. Laerskool Mariepskop, they supported us tooth and nail at every corner. Marius, who's a legend at Laerskool Mariepskop, he was up early on the Sunday and he had his bus out and ready to transport the runners. And I think that was a bit of a highlight for a lot of the 20K runners. They're engaging with, we had bus tunes going and, you know, a little jaunt down the road with Marius, and then the start near the cemetery, which is very casual, but a great way to ease into the second day of a brutal run. There's always going to be someone that I'll probably forget, but we just had so much support from friends, family, community, that, you know, the people who look at it and say, what can we do to help? What do you need? And just help take the race from one level to the next. Pura Soda was an example of that, or Pura Beverages. They just threw their weight behind the race, flew in runners, branding, product, etc. for the race. Their new product is Pura Hydration. And I think it's the first time we haven't had anyone cramping on the finish line. And that tells me all I need to know about an electrolyte product.
100%,
So,
I think amazing. The last thing I wanted to touch on... is the one thing that didn't seem to work as we thought would in the beginning was obviously the Rangers challenge. And I know that was something very close to your heart, and I think maybe that's where a lot of the effort next year might go. But there were two Ranger teams that did enter, and I mean they're all legends of the game at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So yeah, obviously a big punt for next year is to try and see if we can get that off the ground a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer that things need to develop organically. You can punt things, absolutely, and we certainly will again next year. We really believe in it, and giving making this opportunity available to Rangers to come and just experience something different. They work a very hard job and very serious a lot of the time, so to come and experience something different. But yeah, it didn't work as we hoped, but it's still, you know, we still had, as you say, legends of the game who came and ran. Julie Bryden has run the race many times, but it was a first for Robbie, and apparently he was, I might be giving away secrets, but still limping a week later. And you know, just to have that, and Colin and Tristan Patrick involved, is really special. So we really, really grateful. The Patricks also did a huge amount at Moholoholo Mountain View to facilitate the race. Landowners as well, very generously allowing access. So yeah, just a great community effort, and we'll keep punting and pushing it forwards a little bit more each year.
Well, well done. Great event. Thank you for allowing us to be part of it, and we're looking forward to 2025.
Thank you.
And we'll give you August off from the radio, but we'll hopefully start to pick it up in September again.
Absolutely.
And start to build up again. You know, I think the way it worked this year was really nice to have different inserts and different people to come in and let's talk racing. From a radio station, we're also expanding our reach into a big part of podcasting and things like that, so we can give you some other avenues which we can look at, you know, and we can maybe get Andrew to do us a podcast, because he has got a voice for radio, and I'd really like him to do a show, but at this stage he keeps laughing at me, so
pin him down for long enough for that as well. if we can do it via WhatsApp voice notes,
yeah, then we'll get him to record something on a voice note, but when he has a mic in his hand, he doesn't really want to let it go. So.
Well, you know, this was a big stress for me actually on the day of the race, yeah. Greg, is that he had said to me this year with his new business that he's opening, that his one job over the race, all he was doing was emceeing.
Yeah.
Then Mother Nature goes and sends a windstorm, which knocks out the power to the whole of Compass Riss, and he couldn't do his one and only job, which was emceeing. And that, you know, I was running around like a headless chicken, and there he was, not even on the mic.
Yeah.
So
when the mic did work, he was on it, yeah.
I said, well, he had a pep talk for me that I wanted his A game.
Because I expected to be doing some backup emceeing for him, but there was no way I was going to get behind the mic. Lauren, thanks very much for coming in again. I know you're busy. I really appreciate it, and yeah, we will wait with anticipation, and we'll chat again in September for the new season.
Thanks again so much, Greg. Look forward to it, and we'll chat.
So guys, I have a really nice post blog from Lauren with a lot of the winners, some photographs. As soon as we've edited this thing, we will plug it up.